Isaiah chapter 32, very familiar verses of Scripture. We'll read verses 1 and verse 2. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. As a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. As we've shown many times in the past, from chapter 1 and verse 1, we see that Isaiah's ministry spanned the reign of four kings in the southern kingdom of Judah. There was Uzziah. He reigned for 52 years. And it's said of him in 2 Kings 15 and 3 that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Following him was Jotham. He reigned for 16 years. And it is also said of him that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And then following him was Ahaz. He also reigned for 16 years. But it is said of him in 2 Kings 16 and 2, he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And following him was Hezekiah, who reigned for 29 years. And again, it's said of him that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, Isaiah's ministry began at the end, or very near the end, of the reign of Uzziah. Again, Uzziah reigned for 52 years. Isaiah's ministry did not cover that entire 52 years, but right at the end of his reign, as we read in Isaiah 6. But during Uzziah's reign, it was a time of spiritual prosperity, which was begun with Uzziah's grandfather. It was a time of great military success. It was a time of continued spiritual renewal, again begun under his grandfather Joash. It was a time when the nation, for the most part, was filled with confidence, filled with hope. The land was productive. Homes were safe from their enemies. And people overall were happy. Following Uzziah was Jotham. Again, he reigned for 16 years. But then came the reign of Ahaz. And he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And by reading 2 Kings 16, we see that it was a time of spiritual degradation. It was a time of great spiritual darkness. The land was now overrun with idolatry. Corruption was everywhere. Injustice prevailed. And there was a very small remnant of God's people, those who were serious about serving the Lord, and they were suffering terrible affliction. So the whole landscape was just one of gloom. It was very bleak. Isaiah, during this time, of course, continued to preach the message of God to the people. And I believe our text is a message that was preached during that time. He declared, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness." The immediate and least important aspect of that refers to Hezekiah, who would follow the wicked king, Ahaz. In verse 2, we see Hezekiah, who would follow this king. In verse 2, we see there is mention of wind, tempest, dry place in a weary land. And these were used to describe the terrible conditions under the reign of Ahaz. And the people of Judah understood what Isaiah was mentioning. And then Isaiah said, a man. Again, the immediate and also least important reference is to Hezekiah, who would be the next king. And he would be a tremendous blessing to them. He would provide protection for them from the wind. He would provide shelter from the tempest. He would be like streams in the desert and shade from the heat. The next king would be someone that they could turn to, depend upon, someone who would make a difference in their lives, someone who would have their best interest in heart. So our text is a message for the people of Judah. And basically what it is saying is, look beyond your present circumstances. There's another king coming. But what we read in our text, though it may have some reference to Hezekiah, that's not the most important. They look beyond Hezekiah to Jesus Christ. And in light of Jesus Christ, these are very uplifting verses. These are verses that inspire hope. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your spiritual condition, hear the words of verse 2. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, has rivers of water in a dry place, has the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Whoever you are, whatever your condition, hear those words. We want to speak this morning on someone to turn to. Someone to turn to. And thank God that is true at this very moment. Whatever your condition, whatever your circumstances, whatever your background, there is someone to turn to. And he's described in these verses. So let's look first of all at the individual spoken of. Notice in verse 2, and a man. A man. He is speaking of one individual. He does not say, and men. He says, and a man. We read in Romans 5 and verse 5 that the gift of grace is by one man. And then he tells us who it is. Jesus Christ. One man, Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man. The man, Christ Jesus. In both of those verses, Romans 5, verse 5, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, or Romans 5, verse 15, we have the word man. And he is identified as Christ. The title Christ appears 555 times in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, it is the man Christ. That title simply means the anointed. The anointed one of God. What does that mean? Well, it means that he was sent from God, but it means more than that. It means that he was sent from God, fully prepared, fully qualified, fully equipped for the work that God sent him to do. He is the anointed. He is the man, Christ Jesus. His name is Jesus. It is a name chosen by God. Again, the angel appeared unto Joseph and said there in Matthew 1 and 21, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Philippians 2 verse 9, Paul declared that it is a name that is above every name. That is the name Jesus. It is stated in Hebrews 1 and verse 4 that his name is most excellent. But that name Jesus describes his being. It describes his character. It describes his attributes. It describes his power. It describes the reason and purpose for coming to this earth. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. So it's a name that tells us why he came. It is a statement. The name Jesus is a statement of promise to save. It is a revelation of God's provision. It is a revelation of God's sacrifice for sinful man. It's a name that has healing in it. It's a name that conquers death. Again, in our text, Isaiah is directing the people's attention and focus to a man. One man, and that man is Christ, and his name is Jesus. Now, Isaiah, in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, nearly 700 years before Christ became flesh, he said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," meaning God with us. So this man, this one man, is God. And therefore he is called Christ Jesus the Lord. And is referred to as such several hundred times in the New Testament. Christ Jesus the Lord. He is emphatically declared to be God. John 1 and verse 1. John 10 and verse 13, he said of himself, "I and my Father are one." And Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, he is referred to as the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So he is God. This one man, he is God. He became flesh. So he is the enfleshment of God. This one man that Isaiah directs our attention and focus upon is God in a human body of flesh. He is called Christ Jesus the Lord, or Emmanuel, God with us. As God, he is eternal. When he became flesh, he did not become any less God. As God, he is eternal. He is infinite. He is omnipotent. He is all-knowing. He is holy. He is spotless. He is pure. Not only that, he is impeccable. That is, he will always remain so. He is creator. He is sustainer of all things. He is the owner of all things. He is higher and greater than all. He is all sufficient. And he is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one that Isaiah is directing our attention and focus to. A man. He's immeasurable. He's incomparable. Isaiah foresaw the greatness and the blessing of this one. And he said in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And throughout the book, Isaiah refers to this one man as our strength, as our song, as our salvation. He refers to him as the precious cornerstone, the sure foundation, the shepherd, our grief and sorrow bearer, the conquering one, and our redeemer. And in our text, Isaiah is looking forward and speaks of this one as coming. He says, a man shall be. And this one man, came into a world that knew not God. In a world filled with enmity to God, he is God. A world that desired not the ways of God. A world filled with hatred and malice and rebellion against God. A world that was perishing in sins, going down to ruin. And this one that Isaiah is speaking of, Christ Jesus the Lord, left the glories and beauties and the purity and the praises of heaven. And he robed himself in human flesh. And he came into a world that was literally filled with confusion, conflict, and struggle and disappointment. Fear on every hand, sorrow everywhere, failure, lust, selfishness, pride, covetousness, disobedience. And he came to save. He came as God's remedy and God's solution. And he still is today. This one that Isaiah is speaking of, Christ Jesus the Lord, he came to stand between a holy and righteous God and despicable, sinful man. He came to set man free from his greatest bondage, sin. He came to spare sinners from the bondage of sin, from the misery of sin, also from what sin deserves. So we have this man. There's great encouragement and hope that this man would bring. Again, here were the people of Judah. When these words were spoken, they were in dire straits. A cloud of gloom hovers over them. And in describing their situation, Isaiah uses the words wind, tempest, dry place, weary land. But he draws their attention to a man. Amen. Amen. He says, a man shall be. And then he goes on to say what he shall be. He shall be a hiding place from the wind. He shall be a covert from the tempest, which reminds us of Psalm 91 and verse 1, the secret places of the Most High. He shall be as rivers of water in a dry place, and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That's what he shall be. Now, in order to be these things, must he not be in the wind and the tempest and the dry place in the weary land? Must he not be available in those places? Must he not be one who can be turned to if he's going to be these things? Turned to in the wind, in the tempest, in the dry place, and in the weary land. Isaiah is declaring that this one who is Christ Jesus the Lord, this man, would come among the weary, the frustrated, the discouraged, the confused, the restless, the hopeless, the broken, and the shattered. And he would be to them that which would make a difference in their lives. And here we are today, when the forces of hell, the enemies and the deniers of God, like a plague of locust, have relentlessly swarm after swarm come upon this land, come upon our government and devoured it, come upon our judicial system and the schools and families and marriages and homes, and like locusts have stripped these things of respect, and faith, dependence upon God, stripped of values, stripped of morality, stripped of justice. America doesn't even know what justice is anymore. Stripped of integrity, sanity, common sense, that which is good and decent has been stripped. That which is beneficial. And now, that which is horrific, that which is monstrous, that which is contrary and destructive, has engulfed the entire world. And society, not knowing where to turn, what do? They look for solutions and they look for answers among the philosophies, among the reasonings, and among the viewpoints of a people who have lost their minds. If they ever had them to begin with, I don't know. But I know they don't have them now. And as a result of turning, not knowing where to turn to, and turning to the wrong things, the world and our society sinks deeper and deeper and deeper into the abyss of destruction and misery and hopelessness. And the vast majority of people that you walk past in a given day, The vast majority of people today either turn to the wrong things or feel that they have no one to turn to. And may I say, if you feel you have no one to turn to, you will eventually turn to the wrong things. But in the midst of all of that, hear Isaiah 32:2. A man shall be a covert or hiding place from the wind. A covert from the tempest. Rivers of water in a dry place. As a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. What's he saying? He's saying there's someone, and it's this man. Who is this man? It's Christ Jesus, Lord. And he is someone that you can turn to. You have someone to turn to. You can say, I have no one to turn to, but that's not so. There is one you can turn to today. And this society and this world is not going to get better until it does, and it's not going to. You may find yourself being battered by the wind. The wind may be blowing at a gale force. And when wind, we've experienced it here the last couple of weeks, the wind can interfere. It can be disrupting. It can be a hindrance. A nuisance. But the wind blowing at a gale force, tossing, shaking, frightening individuals, causing great apprehension, wreaking havoc and chaos in lives. But listen, there is one named Christ Jesus the Lord. And in the very midst of the wind, while the wind is blowing, He is everything you need. He is someone you can turn to. And what happens if you turn to Him? You will find Him to be a hiding place from the wind. You may find yourself in a life-threatening tempest. Things may be tottering in your life. Things may appear unbearable in your life. And it may fill you with agitation. It may fill you with agony. But listen, there is one, Christ Jesus the Lord. And in the very midst of your tempest, you don't have to wait till the tempest is over. In the very midst of your tempest, He is everything you need. And He is someone you can turn to. And turning to Him, you will find Him to be a covert from the tempest. That's a promise. You may find yourself in a dry place. Place that's just wilting away. An empty place. Surrounded with suffering and death. But again, listen. There is one, Christ Jesus the Lord. In the very midst of the dry place. And He's everything you need. And He's someone you can turn to. And turning to Him, you will find Him to be as rivers of water in a dry place. Again, that's a promise. You may find yourself in a weary land. We all find ourselves in these places. The weary land is an exhausting place. It's a place that'll just drain you. It's an energy zapping place. It's a place that is extremely demanding, and grueling. Very, very difficult place. But listen, there is Christ Jesus the Lord, and He's in the very midst of the weary land. And He's everything you need. And He's someone you can turn to. And when you turn to Him, you will find Him as a shadow. You will find Him as shade in that weary land. So all of this tells us there's someone to turn to. I'm so glad I know that. There is someone to turn to. There are a lot of people that do not know that. And that makes their situation, though they may be find themselves in a very sad situation, what makes it even sadder is they feel there's no one to turn to. That's sad. But there is someone to turn to. And He's greater than any wind. He's greater than any tempest. He's greater than any dry place. He's greater than any weary land. And though there are many needs, many cares, many burdens, many problems and sorrows, and anxieties and battles and struggles, and there are many obstacles, in the midst of it all is this one man, Christ Jesus the Lord. And He's God's provision for you, for me. He's God's remedy. He's God's solution. He's everything I need. And thanks be to God, He's someone that I can turn to. And turning to Him doesn't mean that the wind stops blowing. Doesn't mean that the tempest ceases. Sometimes it might. But what it means is that the storm in my heart stops and we find peace. Turning to Him, we find relief. Turning to Him, we find joy. Turning to Him, we find courage. We find hope. The saddest thing is people without hope. And that's what Ephesians 2 says about the lost individual. Without hope. Turning to Him, we find contentment. And though the storm may have knocked out every light, we find light. We find certainty. I'm glad that I have someone to turn to, and He is one in whom I find certainty. We find encouragement there. And we find victory turning to Him. He is someone that I can turn to, and I am never left with no one to turn to. It's never so. I always have someone to turn to. But even God's people can get in such a condition that they feel, I have no one to turn to. It's desperation. But child of God, that's never, ever so. There's this man. Now, in closing, if you're here and unsaved, you are presently, at this very moment, and I mean at this very moment, at this precise time, you are in a place, you are in a state, you are in a condition from which you cannot get out of on your own. You are a guilty sinner before an almighty and holy God. The just condemnation of God hangs over your head, and it can drop at any moment. At any moment, that condemnation can come down upon you. At any moment. This is your present state. This is your present condition. And I remind you that this is something you cannot get out of on your own. You are at this very moment, whether you realize it or not, you are in a pit of corruption, and you can't get out of it on your own. You are living under the debilitating control and power of sin. And you live in the filth and the pollution of sin. You may not be old enough where you've gone out and manifested those things, but I'm telling you, in your flesh, you live in the filth and the pollution of sin. You live in the bankruptcy and devastation of sin. And I remind you that it is something that you cannot get out of on your own. But praise be to God, in the midst of all of that, there is this one, Christ Jesus the Lord. He's God's provision for you. He's God's remedy. He's God's cure. He's the solution. He is everything that your hell-deserving soul needs. Everything. And glory to God, He's someone you can turn to. He is someone that you can turn to. And in this one, Christ Jesus the Lord is the life that you need, is the liberty that you need, the light that you need, the pardon that you need, the cleansing, the reconciliation. You see, in your present state, you're an enemy with God. You know how dangerous that is? An enemy to God. And He has all power. But in this one, there is reconciliation. It's only in Christ. You ever stop and think that all of Christ's friends and you and I that are saved are Christ's friends? Every one of His friends were once enemies. Every single one of them. But in this one man, there's reconciliation. In your present condition, Talking to the unsaved, you're unacceptable to God. You cannot get out of the situation you're in on your own. You can try and try and try and try to be a better person. Nothing wrong with trying to be a better person. I encourage you to try to be a better person. But I assure you that won't get you out of the mess you're in. And it won't make you acceptable to God. But there's this one man, Christ Jesus the Lord. And in Him, we are accepted by God. Every time I think about that, again, Ephesians chapter 1, accepted in the Beloved. That's amazing. Accepted. But unsaved sinner, this one is what you need right now. And He is someone that you can turn to. The unsaved sinner is not left without someone to turn to. But there's only one. Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the one and only Savior of sinners. And oh, that you would feel your need today. And if you do, you will flee to Him. And when you flee to Him, you will find deliverance for your soul. So thank God for what we read here in Isaiah 32 in verse 2. Every one of us here today, He is what we need. Doesn't matter what you need. He is everything that you need. And He's available. And He is someone that you can turn to. And I'm glad. I do not know what's going to come later in this day or any other time. But I do know this, that whatever comes, I have someone to turn to. And it's not a mere person. It's Jesus Christ. All can forsake us. All our earthly friends can forsake us. They can leave us. They can let us down. It's possible that that happens. But even then, I still have someone to turn to. It just seems that if He's everything I need, and I can turn to Him at all times, then it just doesn't make sense not to. Turn to Him today. Aren't you glad that there's someone to turn to? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.